Penguin Random House Audio presents Native Nations, A Millennium in North America by Kathleen Duvall. Read for you by Carolina Hoyos. Note to listeners, this audiobook includes a downloadable PDF that contains select photographs, illustrations, and maps from the book. For my students in American Indian and Indigenous Studies at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, past and present. Foreword, Many Nations. In the fall of 2016, the road leading into the camp was lined with flags. Lakotas and Dakotas of Standing Rock had been protesting the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline since early that year. And recently, the growing crowd of protesters had spread to this new and larger camp across the Cannonball River. Flying over the trucks, cars, horses, tents, teepees, newly constructed buildings, and demonstrators were more than 300 flags, among them the red, white, and black stripes of the Arapaho Nation, the Northern Cheyenne Morning Star, the purple Hiawatha Belt with four white squares and a tree of peace, representing the Haudenosaunee Iroquois Confederacy, and the sand-colored Navajo Nation flag, which shows the outlined shape of the Navajo Reservation today between its four sacred mountains, under a rainbow representing its sovereignty. Some people brought American flags too, but the flagpoles flew the flags of Native nations. The flags and the people who gathered under them displayed not only the hashtag NoDAPL protests' wide support among Native Americans, but also the fact that Native nations are still here in North America, despite centuries of colonialism. Today, Indigenous North Americans are citizens of many hundreds of Native nations with sovereign rights within the United States, Canada, and Mexico. When Charisse Davids and Deb Haaland were elected to the U.S. Congress in 2018, they were described as the first Native American congresswomen, but also as citizens of the Ho-Chunk Nation and Laguna Pueblo, respectively. Sierra Teller Ornelas, the first Native American to be the showrunner of a television comedy series, introduces herself by naming her Navajo clans. Standing Rock Tribal Chairman Dave Archambault II explained during the hashtag NoDAPL protests, "We're a nation, and we expect to be treated like a nation." The Standing Rock Sioux were demanding their sovereign rights as a recognized political entity with its own laws and land base. That land is Oshadi-Shekowin, Lakota for Seven Council Fires, meaning the seven nations of that confederacy. Native supporters came to Oshadi-Shekowin not just as individuals, but as citizens of Native nations. Yet the ways U.S. history has usually been told make it hard to understand how more than 500 Native nations still exist within the United States today, from populous and well-known peoples such as the Navajo, Diné, and Cherokee nations to smaller ones, such as the Quapaw and Peoria nations. Until the late 20th century, U.S. history books tended to portray pre-colonial Native peoples as being so few in number and so little prepared to resist as to have relatively little effect upon the whites. More recent U.S. history textbooks provide more coverage and rightly condemn the violence of European and U.S. colonialism, but tend to emphasize victimization and decline. Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States integrated Native history into American history, but also taught generations of readers to see Native Americans as helpless victims, naked, tawny, and full of wonder. Dee Brown's iconic 1970 Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee lamented that the culture and civilization of the American Indian was destroyed. The geographer Jared Diamond's Guns, Germs, and Steel erroneously claimed that European military technology and disease caused Native Americans to enter into an almost immediate, precipitous, nearly inevitable decline. Charles Mann, after brilliantly surveying pre-colonial Native North America in his book, 1491, New Revelations of the Americas Before Columbus, succumbed to Zinn's and Diamond's mistakes in his next book. That book's title, 1493, Uncovering the New World Columbus Created, sums up the flawed assumption that Europeans dominated North America virtually from the moment they arrived here. Books and classes about Native Americans have often portrayed them as people only of the past. Most states' social studies curricula include American Indians only in the pre-1900 period of history, and they're mostly as generalized objects of U.S. colonization and westward migration, with little or no differentiation, histories of their own, or connection to the modern world. Former New Mexico Secretary of Labor Conroy Chino of Acoma Pueblo reflects on the Native American history he got in school. Whether they were taught as savage enemies or victims, it always served better to be white than to be Indian. In recent years, scholars of indigenous studies have published articles and monographs stressing what Ojibwe professor Gerald Visoner has termed survivance, a combination of survival and resistance. As Visoner explains, survivance implies a sense of native presence over absence, nihility, and victimry. Ojibwe historian David Troyer's 2019 The Heartbeat of Wounded Knee explains that Native American history did not end with tragedies such as the 1890 massacre at Wounded Knee, but continues through the present. This book contributes to that change in emphasis by showing how Native nations existed in North America long before Europeans, Africans, and Asians arrived and continue to the present day. Indigenous civilizations did not come to a halt when a few wandering explorers or hungry settlers arrived in their homelands, even when the strangers came well-armed. Native Americans made up the majority of the North American population through the mid-1700s and controlled most of the land and resources of the continent for another century after that. Before and during European colonization, Native North Americans lived in diverse civilizations with complex economies and commercial and diplomatic networks that spanned the continent. They live in history, adapting to changes in the Americas for at least 20,000 years and counting. For more than 300 years after Europeans' arrival, most Native people believed that these newcomers were insignificant wanderers and that the people who mattered were the diverse Native peoples of the continent, nations that had a history with one another, who had seen individual powers rise and fall over centuries. Theirs was an entire world as complicated as those of the kingdoms of Asia, Africa, and Europe. The decisions and actions of Native people affected and shaped European colonialism, and north of central Mexico, restricted European colonies to the coasts and a few river posts for more than 200 years. And for most Native nations until the 19th century, their alliances and wars with one another took up much more of their collective time and attention and had a much bigger impact on their lives than anything Europeans did. For most Native nations, the impacts of Europeans, including land loss and attacks on their cultural and religious practices, were felt much later, in the 19th and 20th centuries. And, contrary to the standard U.S. national narrative, nothing was inevitable about the rise of the United States. European colonizers generally had no choice but to recognize Native sovereignty. It was only 19th century white Americans who came to believe their triumph was inevitable and who then rewrote the continent's history to fit their assumptions. In a process that scholars call settler colonialism, 19th century Americans took Native land and claimed that it had never really belonged to indigenous people. In the words of an 1854 history of Woodbury, Connecticut, our pioneer forefathers encountered a desert waste where roamed the savage wild beasts and untutored men more savage still than they. Many later scholars who were less blatantly racist still unquestioningly repeated myths of disappearance. As White Earth Ojibwe historian Jean O'Brien explains, These false histories.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?